We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify your holy name. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and we exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you for divine grace, wisdom, direction during this few moments. And Father, we thank you for everyone that is here and everyone that may be listening in the days ahead for wherever you would take these things. And Father, give us divine wisdom, direction, and leadership of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. I would encourage you, if you'd like to take notes, to take notes, if you're just taking them on your smart device or writing them down. Hallelujah. I want to continue to remind all of you that this is not rocket science that I'm giving you. You may not be wowed by this. That's not the essence of it. I also said that I'm sure that there's people, well, if I didn't say it like this, I'll say it this time, that there's people in this room that are far more financially wealthy and successful than myself, maybe many. That's not the essence of what this is about. And those are the kind of people that I would talk to, as we said last week. Those are the kind of people, successful people, are people that you want to glean knowledge from. But the Lord just wanted me to put out some really basic fundamentals of prosperity. One of the things that I think that really is, by the way, didn't we have a wonderful morning? Praise God. That was just so fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it amazing? We didn't even have miracles, and it was like, wow. You know, wow. And then what an awesome prayer that Homer shared at the end. It just culminated the whole thing. And so I appreciate, that's all of us. You brought it, and we brought it together. God came. So I think one of the things that I would say in a certain sense grieves me and also causes me to say, Lord, help us to help others, is that we who are on a spiritual walk, we overly spiritualize things too often. And I'm not saying, I don't think that you can overly spiritualize. I think you can insufficiently spiritualize. In other words, you lose the essence of what spirituality does. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5, we'll read that in just a moment, and then also read a couple verses in chapter 2. But we who are spiritual, who pray in tongues and seek God and talk about deep spiritual revelation knowledge, we miss the practical application, and we miss the things that God has set in the earth to prosper people. And if you do those things, here's the deal. He said the Son, the Father, he loves everybody, and he said this. He calls the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. He calls it to rain upon the just and the unjust. And that rain wasn't a bad thing. It was a raining of the crop, you know, raining on the fields, blessings. In other words, God just puts out principles. And so, you know, I believe that we're going towards the end. I understand that. But I also understand simultaneously, sanctioned with that is the promises, or the promise of Genesis 8, verse 22, I believe it is. And that's as soon as Noah came off the ark, God gave him a specific promise. And he said, as long as the earth remaineth, as long as there's an earth. Now, we know that this one day, this earth is not going to be anymore like it is. We're not going to go to heaven, because heaven's going to be here. There's not going to be any such thing as heaven. Heaven's not going to exist. The new Jerusalem's coming down, and it's going to be here, and this earth is going to be restored. But as long as he said to Noah, he said, as long as there's an earth, like you understand there is an earth, seed time and harvest will always remain. In other words, if you plant something, it'll eventually, you can harvest it back. And he said that, and that's incredible. If you understand the dynamics of that, that's incredible. Because what he said is, to the end, to the very end, he prophesied to the end of the age, to the end of whenever that is, And he said, certain principles will always work. And those principles are this, seed time and harvest. Now I know the Antichrist is coming, tribulation, on and on and on, and I'm not making light of that. We teach that around here. But at the same time, if you read, and I've been spending, I've really been having a good time in the Gospels, but if you read the words of Jesus, you also depict, he depicts, and you pick up, is that there's going to be a normal kind of, even in the midst of chaos, a kind of a normal sense that will catch people unaware. He said, when I come, men will not expect, now I'm going to paraphrase, men will not expect that this is my time of coming. People will be marrying and giving in marriage, and we've exhorted on what the giving in marriage could mean. And he talked about, Jesus said, just like it was in the days of Noah, that when he got on the ark, people weren't expecting that to happen. In other words, I'm saying this, there's a normal kind of life going on even when he comes back and into the end of the age. Well, what does that mean? That means we've got to prepare. We really have got to prepare. I really, honestly, I do believe that I'm going to see revival. If I didn't believe that, there's something inside of me. My Energizer Bunny, my spiritual Energizer Bunny might run out. But it's been cranked up by the Holy Spirit. And as long as I'm on this earth, there's something inside me that says expect and believe that. But I also know that I have to plan, and all of us elders have to plan to pass this baton. Because if he doesn't come, in the next 30, 40 years, I still may be here in 30, 40 years, but I'm going to be getting older and eventually passing on. There has to be around here what we believe is doctrines first, and then there has to be a posterity. In other words, we have to be raising people up to understand. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. You know, when the woman washed his feet, the disciples were mad. Now, I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing. We're not going to scripture. But the disciples were mad, and particularly Judas. Why shouldn't have this been sold for, I think it was a full year's wages of a man, and given to the poor? He wasn't concerned, the Bible said, about the poor. He was a thief. But Jesus made an incredible statement. And if we understand what his statement was, we understand a lot. He said, the poor you have with you always, and you can do for them whatever you want to, but the Son of Man you do not have with you always. In other words, I'm here for a short time. This woman is blessing me, and it will be a memorial spoken of her. She's preparing me for my burial. This is symbolic. Now, what did he mean, the poor you have with you always? Well, there will never, ever be an administration. There'll never be a government. They've tried governments all over the world. They've tried socialism, communism, Russia. Tried to do that. It put together the USSR, and it was a block of nations, and they said, we're going to have socialism, and everybody's going to have the same, and they took away the incentive of a man becoming, in other words, it didn't matter what you made, go ahead and get rich, but we're just going to go ahead and take, what you have, and we're going to distribute it to everybody equally. Well, we saw what happened on that. They eventually became the poorest block of nations on the planet, and they eventually just busted up. It doesn't work. Communism never works. There was a similar, but not really communism in Acts chapter 2 and 3, but that was still by one's own volition. People were still giving what they gave, not because they were mandated to, so it wasn't true socialism. Socialism doesn't work. But what Jesus was saying this, the poor you have with you always. In other words, there will always be people that will aspire and go someplace, and then there will always be people that really just, let me say a few different ways here to be nice. Some people really genetically just lack the intelligence, and then they really don't care. Some people just don't care. They're just fine. And I'll tell you what, God is fine with that. And people would call them just normal. And, you know, maybe I'm one of those just normal people. I really wanted to do a bunch of stuff when I got here 19 years ago. I figured out that I could have some business on the side and do some other stuff. And God just broke me down and said, it basically told me to stay in prayer. That was my job. And he'd take care of me. And I knew that if I did any other thing else, that I was going to get distracted. Now, that's not necessarily your call. I mean, we all have different calls. But there's different people, and there's some people. In other words, if you gave everybody in America $1 million, in 10 years, the people that were rich and had millions, at the end of that 10 years, they would all have the millions that they ever had, plus what you gave them. And the poor people that were poor before you gave them the $1 million would still remain poor. Because it's bad habits, it's bad morals many times, just lack of social intelligence and the intelligence to keep and make money and to keep it. That's the other thing too. People don't know how to, they'll make money, but they don't know how to keep it. They live according to what comes in. If you live according to what comes in other words, if you just increase your spending based on what comes in, you'll never have anything. And one of the things that we said last week is there's always an exception. And I want to say again, what I'm saying to you, these are, a lot of it is not like word-based, like in a sense, like doctrine. So you can, I mean, it's very legal for you to disagree. It's very legal for you to say, I don't do it that way, or that's pretty good, but I think of a better way. That's fine. I'm just giving you basic biblical, what I think is coming up from biblical principles. That's a fine attitude. But looking at what, you know, comes in and what goes out, people don't understand what we talked about last week, and the number one thing that we talked about was setting a budget. That's probably the number one thing. Now, let me just repeat part of where we were at last week, and then we'll go from there, because I'm going to make some suggestions, as I said last week, or even now, is that a lot of this is just biblical suggestions. Hallelujah. First of all, I would say this. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Okay. I want to read that instead of trying to quote it. A wise man will hear and will do what? Increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto what? Wise counsel. Okay, let me just stop right there. Now, I have this in my notes for later, and some of you have read this. I remember it circulated about 10 years ago or less. And I'm not going to say I endorse everything in it, because I can't remember all that's in it. But I would, if you haven't read this book, I would read it. And if you have read it, I would read it again. And it's very accessible now, because I've started listening to it. It's a free download. You can just go and listen to it. And there's a couple different places. The narration's fine. I think there's two different narrators. But I would read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'd read it again. So it's very, very, some of you say, well, I've read that. Okay, are you doing it? That'd be the thing. Are you doing it? That is right here. That's Proverbs 1:5, getting instruction. Here's a man that says, look, it's all between your ears. That's it. prosperity is between your ears. Now, we understand it more than that. We understand it as a spiritual application. I think he's a Christian, the way he talks about certain things. But like I said last week, whether a man's a Christian or not, if he has wisdom, I'd listen to him. As long as he doesn't break moral principles in what he's... So Robert Kiyosaki's, you can Google it, and it is audio now, so you can work and put some earphones in and listen to it, and it's free. That's the amazing part. It's free. So you got somebody narrating it for you for free. Quick background on that. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he had a... His dad was very intelligent, was a university professor, I believe, but always basically poor. His rich dad was not biologically his rich dad. In fact, he was his friend's dad, and he would go over and play with his friend or hang out with his friend. And this guy also was an educated man, but the way that he would talk about money and the way that he would just go after things and the understanding. You know, his poor dad, which is biological dad, which he loved, was like, we can't afford that. We can't, you know, that's something we can't afford. When he would visit the other dad, he would hear him say, how can we afford it? How can we afford it? We're going to do it. We're going to get it done. It's just, how do we arrange things and how do we hodgepodge if necessary? What kind of tributaries do we create to make sure that this gets done? The one is like, and he talks about really a lot of it's just laziness. It's just, and I think that's for all of us. Laziness is probably the biggest, and I'm not talking about physical laziness. I'm talking about mental laziness, like, I just don't really want to, you know, it takes time filling out papers. It takes time doing this. It takes time trying to figure out how do you start those kinds of those tributaries and stuff. But he said he didn't take either one of them necessarily. He took a middle road, and he developed his thinking as a result. And as I said, I'm not endorsing all of that. I mean, you might find some things in there that says, oh no, that goes well if you do. But I'm telling you, the stimulation is important, and the stimulation is identifies what we just read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and following. And in chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler for them that walk uprightly. He that keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equality or equity. Yea, thou every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant into thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. So I think that's far enough right there. I think those two portions of scriptures kind of exemplify part of my heart in all of this, is that to become prosperous, you really have to go after it. You really do. It doesn't just fall. And there's a fine line, but people don't understand. They'll say, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen, that's right, the love of it, not money itself. The love of it. In other words, if it dictates your morals, if it dictates you know, a whole lot of different things that go against Scripture, then that's different. You have to. It's not going to fall in your lap. It's not going to. Now, there are spiritual applications, and where I was going a little bit a few minutes ago is the posterity, you know, what we're leaving behind. I hope that when I grow old, and if I'm believing that revival's here, but revival also has to be fueled. It also has to be, it has to be fueled by the intercessors. That's the main thing. Prayer is the main thing. And then it just has to be fueled by money. And there's a lot of other ways. Really, the best way, okay, don't start coming to me and saying, when are we going to change over? Really, the best way is not taking up offerings. Okay, that's not the best way. Now, is there scriptural principle for that? Yes. Okay, I can show you that. So if you get squirrely on me and start coming, well, we're not going to do offerings. Okay, well then, the difference between what we're not picking up, I'm going to expect you to be the one to pick it up. Give it, okay, after we go your way. But the way it's supposed to be is like Jesus, where you've got sponsors, and sponsors have to be pretty well loaded, if you want to put it that way. And he had women and other people that were following him around, and they were given whatever was necessary. And everybody should have the opportunity. That's why we'll never stop, we'll never stop having offerings, because everybody. So, because I'm telling you, when somebody gives $50 or $10 or $5,000, it's my heart's desire to appreciate those people that gave the $10 and the $50 just as much as gave the $5,000. And I really don't see a whole lot of what everybody gives, and I like it that way. I'll hear. When there's something exceptional comes in, and I appreciate that. But there should be eventually a flow, really. And one of the things that we're building for is for the future, for a flow of spiritual posterity. In other words, we're building towards the future that we lead. And then also the very best, and that is there is scripture on that, the gospel entrepreneur, the ministry of helps, 1 Corinthians 12:28, the ministry of helps, and also over in Romans, a corresponding scripture, I believe is in chapter 12, that there is a ministry for people that they're called to just give lots of money. And of course they should trust, they should look at the fruit of, where's this going? Where is this going? They should be judging that. But really, there should be a planting. There should be businesses started that says, okay, I'm not talking about making deals with God, but I'm talking about this is kind of how it works. Lord, this particular business belongs to you, and whatever comes out of it, it's going to go straight into revival. Or I've got 10 rentals. These 3 rentals every month, they're going to go straight into you. Or I've got this, and it's dedicated and sanctified to the ministry. Those are all things of posterity. Those are all things that fuel, and it's not just me standing up or asking for you to give on a... That should be more for people that just want to open up their heart and just say, okay, out of an expression of worship, I want to give. Really, the ministry should be being fueled, if it's done right, on a monthly basis, behind the scenes, that people are just giving checks into, that no fanfare, nobody knows about, but it's there. It's there for whatever. Our next project is paying off this, but there's so much more. Well, what are they? Well, there's no need for me to even mention them to you, because we're not even ready for that. But if we had the money for it, I guarantee you we'd start it, and that's important. And there's a lot to start. So if you gave me $500,000 right now, you say we don't need $500,000 because the mortgage is no. I can tell you we could spend it in a good way, and not overnight. And it's not going to go to my salary, but I'm telling you, the gospel has to be expanded through money. It really does. And so the scriptures that we just read here is, it tells us go after knowledge. So I would say go read that book. If you don't like it, that's okay. Listen to it. It's got some really, really, really good stuff in it. So... let me just repeat a little bit from last week. Hallelujah. I talked about last week some hard times. So, you know, if you come to me with any question, I'm not going to look. And I'm telling you, a lot of you may be a whole lot more prosperous in here than Candy and I. I'm just telling you, as a pastor, this is important for us to understand these spiritual principles. You don't have to raise your hands, and you don't only have to say anything. But I would say, I would ask you this as an example. From last week till this week, and a week goes by, we got out of the pulpit this morning, we had an appointment someplace else, we went there, and that's why we're 10 minutes late. It's just like the day goes by so fast, and your week goes by so fast, and your month goes by so fast. So just for example purposes, what I would say is how many that did not or does not have a budget or have some of the things that we talked about last week or starting in Proverbs to read it one time a day or any of those things, how many of you or how many, talking to yourself maybe, did you do that this week? Did you start it? And I find that I agree with so many different messages, and then I'll give myself the first week because I'll say a week goes by real fast. But you know what? 2 weeks go by real fast. In 3 weeks. And life, it's just gone. It's just gone. And then you're thinking, I read that Kiyosaki book. I know that. There's no reason for me to read it again. I know. But are you doing it? And it's just like the Word of God. It's just like the Word of God. We hear it and we hear it and hear it. You have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Now again, listen. And I can't say this enough because I'm basically in a particular cornfield. And the only way that I can really get out of, and I don't want out of my cornfield, but the only way that I can get out of it or expand it is because I pray. That's my job, is to confess and pray an expansion. Now, Gary said this, and this is where a budget comes into really, really important. You have to figure out what you need. And then, you know, pray about it. And then add some on there. God's not cheap. Put in there, you know, some entertainment. Put in there, like if you're going to do an annual one, put in there some, you know, maybe a vacation if you can afford it. Whatever you can. And then start confessing. I say that I have an excess of, like if it's whatever it is, if it's, whatever, you know, if it's eight, I say if you're making $700 or $800 a week now, $700, $800 a week now, and then you look at that budget and you say, man, where I need to be. Now, listen, if you get dumb with it, you're never going to get there. In other words, if you're making $600, $700 a week right now and you start saying, I say that I have over $5,000 a week on a weekly basis, you'll eventually get there, but mainly your confession is going to be canceled out by the ridiculousness of the probability of any of that changing anytime soon and everything that has to go in between to make that happen. So God is a God of practicality. He's also a God of wisdom, so He will increase you. But like I said last week, this is kind of a square. Maybe a rectangle, but mostly a square. But if this is my cornfield, this is what I do for a living, I can confess, I say that me and my husband, me and my wife, me and my family, we have the full expanse of this 20 acres. Well, that's a blessing for God to give you that. But at the end of the day, that's all it's ever really going to be. And if you can live under that, then that's a blessing. But if you want to expand, if you really want to expand, and as I said last week, most people that are genuinely prosperous, that are really, really able to give a whole lot, and there's never no pressure. I'm not wanting anybody in here to have to go start a business to support the church other than what you're doing. In fact, I'm not checking on what you're doing. I don't want to know what you're giving. But the biblical principles are there in Proverbs, unless you are an NBA player or an NFL player, or you do something that you've got a number of different, and like you've expanded, like I got a 20 acre, like I got a, you know, this 20 acres, and this is my store. Well, I make another 20 acres, and I make another 20 acres. That's that your same business, whatever you do, that can bring you extreme prosperity. But most people never ever get rich off the single thing that they do. In other words, if you're if you got a construction business, or if you've got a just any kind of business, if you're a farmer or whatever, prosperity comes by getting the income and paying your ongoing expenses, and then out of that, taking that and expanding into other areas, so that you're getting what you're doing, you're getting that, and then other areas that other people are working for you, and it, you're not having to spend a whole lot of time in that. Well, in that book, well, what are you talking about? I'd read the book, because there's a number of suggestions in that. Listen, prosperity comes. Prosperity comes by you, not you being the most intelligent person in the room. Prosperity comes by you gathering, if you want a long-term prosperity, you gathering people around you that are smarter than you. Hang out with, I've got a lot of friends that are smarter than me, and they help me. So find people that are smarter than you, and let them. This is why I'm not necessarily sticking to my notes now. I'm just listening. This is why the three best friends that you need. Now they used to say this, and then now it's not as relevant. They said the three most important friends that you needed for prosperity was your banker, your lawyer, and your accountant. You needed to establish those three friends and have an ongoing relationship. Now, banking, it was important years ago to get with a certain bank from, I would say, the millennials right on through and establish and get to know those people. Now, banking is so... it's just, there's no really hometown, good old boy, get to know. That can be Googled, that can be looked up, where you get your, you know, your best loans, and you get this and that and the other. Well, I'm not going to owe no man nothing. That's, we just, in service, last week, we showed you from the Greek, owing no man nothing does not mean making payments if you can afford them. In fact, there are some people that are making, 25 payments every month, and they're getting rich. But they're, that rental property is coming in, and they got to pay it, but they're getting an excess of $300 or $400 a month, and they owe it, but they don't owe it. I mean, owing it out of the Greek means that you're failing to meet your debt. You're failing to meet it. That's what owing. So having several things that you owe is totally fine with God, as long as there's a biblical prosperity that's involved. So the banker is, that's kind of a lost art. It used to be that you established and you got to know a banker, and you build up a rapport, and that still can happen. But everything is so syndicated now. It's so spread out that, you know, the chains and all that. Lawyers are important. I've had one lawyer for many, many years. He helped me out. Well, who are you going to sue? You're not going to sue anybody. But if you expand, you need a good man that can file titles for you, can file this, can file that, can put in effect all kinds of things for your family and plan for your family. Accountants are major. They're major. This is why I just encourage young people, look, I know it's cheaper to go to H&R Block. I know, sir, ma'am, it's I salute your intelligence that you can do it for yourself. But listen, you can't compete with people that are in a place where they're in a continuing education. They've got a master's degree, and they're continually. I mean, there's things that if I would have done it for myself, I would have cost myself tons of money. But the guy is so smart, and he continually, sometimes, you know, he's gone for 2 weeks because he, after many, many, many years, is still getting continual education. Well, I'm just going to do it myself. That's fine. This class is just, but I'm telling you, you need to establish with, and the other thing too, and I don't know, maybe they do, because I haven't, and I'm not demeaning anybody that goes to H&R Block or any standard. That's perfectly fine. Or if you do it for yourself, that's fine. But if you do go into an audit, you're going to go mono-mono with them if you're the one doing it for yourself. If you and I don't know how savvy the people are that you may be using at, say, a generic place like H&R Block. What you want, especially if you start building a portfolio, is somebody that can go in there and mix it up with them. And these guys, they've done it for so many years. If they're if they've been into accounting for 25 years, they're not nervous, and they know how to speak. And if they're a professional, they'll usually, you never have to see the IRS yourself. Now, listen, I've already been through it, so I understand. I mean, I've been through the audits like that none of you want to go through. So, but if you've got a good accountant, he will be that firewall for you, and he knows how to talk their language. And that's why I say from the very beginning, even if you're intelligent enough to do it yourself, that's fine. If you want to save yourself some money, but my deal is I would say prosperity comes by building, because the probability that some of you are going to be audited in the next 10 years is could be very high. And it can cost you time, it can cost you money, and if you're not ready for it, the enemy can use it. You know, he can use it to take stuff from you. But if you got a good accountant, he can be, there's things he said, no, wait, yes, there's laws, you're okay, and I can show you the laws or whatever. No, you can't do that. Yes, I, and so sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm just going to take the chance, and because I don't have the, and I'm telling you, they're much cheaper than what you think, especially if you go into an audit, okay? So does that help? It's just practical things, but I'm telling you, it's just vitally important. So we are looking for the, into the future. So asking the question is not me, being mean, because I do this all the time to myself. What have we done? What will we do next week? Okay, last week we said, the building blocks for financial prosperity. I believe one of the practical building blocks is just a budget. You should have a budget. Should know. The other thing is you should have a blueprint, a spiritual blueprint, and you should also have a real vital blueprint of like that, something that you write out. It could be a paragraph, and put someplace and say, "This is my goal. This is what I want to be." I either I'm fine with where I'm at, or I want to see in the next 10 years myself making this amount of money. Now, it's totally fine for your field to be 20 acres and you getting 100% of 20 acres for a while, and you got to expand that 20, or you got to get used to that 20 acres and get 100% of the corn in it. But if in 10 years you want to be making $100,000 a year, and if what you're doing for the last 5 years has only brought $40,000 to $50,000, all the confession in the world is not going to make this go to $100,000, because God still follows Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest. I confess. Okay, you're going to get, what's the best that this will ever make? $50,000. Well, it's not going to make $100,000. So in other words, you're going to have to get the wisdom of God to say, how do I get that 100,000? What can I duplicate this field and make it another field just like it? Does that make sense? Okay. And those things are vitally important. I would also put together a confession sheet. It doesn't have to be a big, this is all it has to be. And this is what I say often. And I have two confessions. I say that the Family Prayer Center has over blah, blah on a weekly basis that comes in and extras. And I pray for you guys. This isn't just about me. I pray for you that you prosper. And then I say that Candy and I have over blah, blah on a weekly basis and extra that come in. So, like I said, Gary said you should say, and I agree with him, you should say, I say that I have an excess so that God can add that excess. You know, God can, so he noticed one time that he had been saying, I say I have such and such, $1,000 a week, and he said that he looked back over, and I don't know if it was $1,000 a week or whatever it was, I'm just using it as an example. He looked back and he keeps real good records, and at the end of that year, where he came to, he was getting that 100-fold on that 20 acres, and he was getting that right there, that $1,000 a week or whatever it was. But he realized he needed some more, and God said, you limited yourself, pray for that, speak that, what you need, but say in excess. I say that I have in excess of this so that I can add to it, so that your faith is allowing me to add to it. There's so many different things that, and we'll talk more next week about certain things, and even in some investing that you can possibly do. And I'm not going to tell you to do it. In fact, I'll have to ask the Lord how that I can approach this, because I know I could get in trouble, and I don't want to get in trouble. I only want to give you options. That's all I want to do. I just want to give you options, because investing always has a critical point of jeopardy. It really does. And you have to understand all those kinds of things, and you have to be able to take the brunt of anything when you're going to invest. I also encourage, this may sound opposite to faith. I'll explain why. Maybe it'll help you. I encourage young people and everybody, from unless you are financially independent, and some people are. Some people can. They don't have to insurance, health insurance. They pay their own, and that's fine. Candy and I really, and this is no brag, we have never had health insurance since we've been here. And two things. One, the church really just couldn't afford it. We just couldn't. There wasn't enough in the budget to pay that. And then the other thing is that we just trusted the Lord. There was something inside of me said God's going to take care of us. And I don't know. I don't know if there would have been excess, if maybe I would have taken advantage of it at times. But I think that's a lot of you in here. You don't have, and we get penalized every year right now. Last year was $600. I got penalized for not having health insurance. But I'm telling you, if you do have it, you have as much, if you're walking with God, you have as much faith as I do. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just telling you, God's in power. I'm really, really healthy. I'm not taking medicine for anything in my body. I'm just perfectly healthy. I don't have any infirmities, and I just praise God. And any of you that are struggling, that doesn't mean you have less than me. It means you're just going through a fight, you know, but we're all going to win. We're just all going to win. And so, but I encourage people, number one, if you can't get health insurance, I do encourage young adults to get life insurance. And I encourage all adults to have life insurance for this reason. Years ago, with a young family, and I'm talking about, there's two types of life insurance. There's the whole life policy, and there's a term. Okay, so I'm talking about term. I'm talking about term policies. They're very inexpensive, and they yield quite a bit. whole life is like an investment policy. If you've got a whole life policy, I'm not criticizing that. You can make money on whole life policies. But I believe that it makes more sense to go term and invest your money than rather put your money in a whole life policy. That makes a whole lot more sense to me, and I believe it does economically. But somebody said, well, aren't you going to live until you die and live to be an old age? Yes, that is my faith. That is my faith. But the Lord spoke to me like 20-something years ago and said, look, that's your faith. That's your faith. But don't jeopardize your wife and two kids. Now, that was when we had two kids. And now I still want my wife to be taken care of based on just your faith alone. Take care of them. That made sense to me. Listen, nothing's ever going to happen to me. You know what? I believe that. But I'll tell you what. Just for food for thought, there's been a whole lot of faith-filled people that just, what? Yeah, they died last night. Really? They died? Really? Well, man, I thought they were going to come out of that. Yeah, they did. And they went to heaven. But the way my policy, it's less than $100 a month. She gets $300,000 if something happens. And the Lord says, look, if the devil ever gets a loophole, just something nobody understands. Listen, I've been in this walk for a long time. There is no failure to the Word of God. But there are loopholes that sometimes people scratch their head, and I scratch my head sometimes. I'll see certain things happen to people, and I'll say, like, wow, that's amazing. Now, I can deduce this. God didn't fail. His Word did not fail. I'll find out when I go to heaven, maybe I will. I'm going to heaven, but maybe I'll find out that he'll tell me or he won't tell me. You know, maybe that's Kenneth Hagin's wife. One time she didn't get healed, and he prayed for her, and she said, "I'm going to have an operation." And well, she had the operation, and it turned out fine. She got healed that way. And Kenneth said he went to the Lord. He said, "Why didn't she, why didn't she get healed?" And he said to him, he said, that's mine and her business, and that's none of your business. And he was the apostle of faith. I mean, he said, that's between me and her. You know, a lot of times the Lord has to tell me, I'll start trying to figure out, why is that person? Why? And the Lord says, that's really none of your business. You need to just stick to your own business. You need to just plow your own field and just stop worrying about why somebody else is not succeeding in faith. Just keep your head down and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Well, if I got killed on the mission field or he found a loophole or something where everybody thought I was praying, but I'd stopped praying for a month or two, and he got in there and killed me somehow, and I still went to heaven, I didn't want to leave my wife and my kids. And there's a lot of people leave the planet, and then somebody got to figure out how to bury them, and then somebody's got to figure out this, and somebody's got to figure out that. I knew she'd have at least three, and until I get into my 70s, if something, you know, y'all don't have to worry about it. Something happens to me, she's going to get at least $300,000. That's not going to be a whole lot. But with whatever else we got, she should be fine. And this is where Christians, a lot of times, they never think past. You don't have to do it in unbelief. But we've talked. You know, what happens? Well, I would say this, honey. I would take this amount, and I would do this with it. And I'd go to that person, because they're smart, and I'd tell this. You should have a plan. You should really have a plan. And you say, well, I just think that's unbelievable. Well, okay, that's fine. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that said, I don't need life insurance. And then somebody's trying to, well, it takes at least $10,000 to bury you. Don't make the church bury you. We don't really have it right now, okay? Get for $90 a month, and some of you millennials, it's less than that. You can get $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000. And if you find if the devil does kill you, and I pray he doesn't, your wife, kids, and all of us are going to say, thank God they're in heaven, and thank God they got money. Hallelujah. Thank God. So it makes sense. It just makes sense. I didn't want to be out there someplace. You know, y'all hear me say, well, if the plane goes down, look for me. I won't be dead. But you know what? That's good. That sounds real good. But when somebody says, Miss Candy ain't got no money and he didn't leave her nothing and what, so you can still do that even if you're 40 or 50 years old. Go get a term insurance policy. It'll cost you, you know, less than $100 a month. And then what happens is you should be investing so that when you do turn in your 70s and you don't have the policy anymore, you have the equalization of that set aside someplace so that if you do die, you're going to be fine and you're going to have something to leave to your family. Amen. We're going to talk next week about how to build the portfolio credit scores and all those kinds of things. We're really just scratching the surface, but I think the main thing that I wanted to get across to you tonight is go after knowledge. Really, go after knowledge. If you can find other books, maybe you've read that book and you say, okay, I got that one. Go after knowledge. Integrate it. I know this is the most important, the Word of God. But the Word of God that we just read said go after knowledge. And it didn't say just, now it means biblical knowledge. That's the main thing. But it also integrates all kinds of knowledge that will incorporate wisdom into your life. So praise God. I appreciate all of you being here. We'll give you more next week. But amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great grace. We ask you to continue to bless us as we go forward. We thank you that Immokalee is in prosperity. And all these are in prosperity. And we go after your wisdom. We go after the wisdom of prosperity. Lord, we're not loving money, but we thank you that, Lord, that we will have enough and more than enough to take care of our families and to also take care of this revival. Bless now these people as they go home. Keep them on the roads. And we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you for coming tonight. We appreciate it.